Greetings and welcome to This Present Truth. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is the last day of June 2026, 30th of June, Tuesday. Podcasts on thispresenttruth.com. Two sections, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry section, or This Present Truth section. Today, I am going to visit with you on a topic. Is this the last 4th of July celebration in the United States? We'll have another 4th of July next year, but will we celebrate? Will Donald Trump still be the commander-in-chief, or will someone else, an imposter, could it be that there will be another, not an imposter, but I guess I would use the word tyrant, that will have been successful in replacing Donald Trump, moving him out of the office of president? Well, I'm going to discuss that today. The attack and the war between simply the Democrats and Republicans, the struggle that's occurring in Washington, D.C. right now is more serious than most people grasp. The American people, they don't believe there will really be any major change unless it's through elections, through the midterms. And with the midterms, right now, depending on what happens here in the next, 4 months, we don't know really which way it's going to go. I do believe that the president will continue to make headway politically, signing executive orders, and the Supreme Court is wishy-washy on many things right now. But we're going to see what's going to happen. Should there be, either way, should there be or shouldn't there be a supposed conservative win in November, I don't think it will be, should it be even a great win for the conservatives, I don't think it may make any difference. The forces nationally, internationally, that are in conflict with Donald Trump are too powerful, and I cannot see this president being in office a year from now. The country is in the middle of a Bolshevik revolution. We're in the middle of a society that is resistant to laws. We have judges who won't use their positions to judge correctly. Not correctly, lawfully. When the judgments of the judges, when these decisions are made on politics, not law, a country's in trouble. So we are as a nation in trouble. The presidents, when they take office, they appoint judges who decide basically will uphold the views of the president. Donald Trump's policies have been some of the best policies in this country in this century. The previous six presidents, excluding Joe Biden, who was never president, but from the time of Carter to Barack Obama, the policies have been, what these presidents have done is they have passed policies and executive orders that have benefited not the American people, but the global agendas of the world, the agendas of Klaus Schwab and the George Soros, the Rothschilds out of Europe, Rockefellers out of America, corporations in this country. Donald Trump has been the president who has tried to untangle the web that the American people have been caught in, and he's done a very good job. But I'm afraid, biblically speaking, from the position of what the Bible says is going to happen, there would be great, he would be a very successful, but not fully successful. The America, presently, we are once again a very blessed nation. And due to Donald Trump, we are, to some degree, a shining city on a hill, to some degree. But that is going to change, I'm afraid. It's going to change quickly after this coming election. I think things will begin to unfold. The trajectory of greatness will end. We won't be great. We will be powerful, but not necessarily great as a country. Another way that I can describe what is happening in this country is I'll use a word, intuition, a sense, a feeling that you can't quite put your hands on, something that you can't really grasp with your mind. But by watching the events, the news in this country, just America, forget internationally, there is something that is shifting, something that is happening, a change that is coming. It's not clear what is coming, but that something is on the horizon. It's intuitive and just a feeling, like sometimes women will have a sense about one of their children being in danger. And generally they work and they act on that sense to find out that one of the children has been in a car wreck or something. But it's something that is, you can't really identify it. It's just intuitive. I think this is the sense that many American people that are conservative, that love the country, that are hoping for the very best, a great outcome here at the midterms, changes in policy, but there's just this sense that something is off. Something is unexplainable. Something occurring by watching the hatred of the deep the deep left. The deep left can be identified as many things: full of hate, vitriol, vindictiveness, witchcraft. Witchcraft is the big one. Many are sensing witchcraft in the deep left party. The sites that I go to, there is more and more discussion about secret societies, about people in our government that are Illuminists, that are in secret societies, that are serving, you know, powers other than God himself. There's a left, but in the left, to the left, is the deep left, the hidden left, something in that political world we can see on the surface. It's above board. It's, you know, we understand where they're coming from by their actions, by what they say, but something beneath it that is out of view, something else is occurring. Something else is, you might say, you can't see the magma under the earth's crust. It's there, but you get a clear image, and you get the view of what magma is once you have a volcano erupt. Well, underneath, to the hard left, to the deep, deep bowels of what is happening in that part of this country that is just in rebellion. It is not just a natural rebellion. It is something deeper. And this is what many of the sites I go to, there's more and more open discussion about how this government has been infiltrated with sorcery, witchcraft, with people in these secret societies. They're not just members of a group that has, you know, it's just for show. But no, there's something with these groups. There is something behind whatever they swear allegiance to that has great power. This is the shift that is going to come to this country. It's already in motion. It's like you have these flash floods in Arizona, for example. And 100 miles away, there is a massive storm, and it is dumping trillions of gallons of water. You're 100 miles away, not knowing that there is a torrent, 10-foot wall of water coming at you. And it's a beautiful day, and you've got your four-wheeler, your RV, your ATV down in the creek bed, back and forth, up and down. Your camp right alongside the river. And unknowingly, like within minutes, there is water rushing at you. It is too late to get out of the way, to save what you have, to get your wrecked vehicles out, your campers, your cars, your whatever. All you can do is get out of the depression, get to higher ground, save yourself. This is what is coming to this country. You know, I'm not being negative. A good doctor, when a patient comes in, he examines, takes tests, eventually has to return to the patient after 3 or 4 days, sit them down, explain to them what's happening. He's not negative. He's being honest. He's giving the options. He's revealing to the patient what they found and how serious the condition may be. Hopefully not serious, but he'll be honest and tell them, if he's a good doctor, he'll have the bed manners to, you know, present to them what they need to hear, whether good or bad, positive or negative, which would give hope or strip them of hope. And with what I do and what I've done all through the time that I've been on air and media, I've always tried to be as accurate and careful to present what is truth, what is real to the listeners, and to be forthright about what I see coming. I see, truly, there is a song by Creedence Clearwater Survival years ago, "I see a bad moon rising." I can see it by watching the hatred of these creatures that are almost inhuman. They're near to being beasts of the field. They have no conscience. They're violent. I'm not talking about those in Islam that are terrorists, I'm speaking about those born in America, light-skinned, educated, come from dysfunctional backgrounds, that are sexually, they are basically lost in a world that is like a river, and they can't anchor themselves as people, as human beings. They don't know if they're male or female, or if they were born in the wrong body. They're lost. And these people in this society, they are angry. They're angry, whether it is because of the way they were raised, the people that they grew up with, that influenced them as children, the universities, if they had got to that point, or just public education. But there is a society out there now where they don't have the ability to become doctors, engineers, scientists. They aren't leaders. They have, you might say, they're like they've disengaged from life, disengaged from society. They don't know the future. They've cast all caution to the wind. They don't know what's going to happen. They believe that it'll be all right. Whatever is going to come, it'll work out. Well, not this time. Not this time. This is what people see. Many people that are watching, they understand that, it's like decay, something that is rotting, something that you know something is wrong, you can smell it, but you don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it will affect you. I'll give you an example. I'm heading down the road earlier in the week, and there was a skunk, a dead skunk in the road. Well, I didn't hit the skunk. It was already dead. I veered around it. But still, after I passed, for about 2-3 minutes, you could smell that odor. And generally, if you hit one of these creatures, it's going to, your car is going to, your vehicle is going to stink until you get to a laundromat, till you get to a, car wash and wash and get the smell off, get the oils off your bumper or your tire or your grill, whatever. This, what is happening in this country, what has happened, this change cannot be reversed. The change of what has happened in society with basically the youth up to, let's say, 40 years, 45 years of age and younger, what has happened is something that you cannot reverse. There is no remedy. There is no... you can put them in jail. You can sentence them to life in prison. But it won't change. They are already developed in their psychology, in their the way they view life, the way they view mankind, what is important to them. It's like communism, which now is the main topic on the, alternative media. Communists, communism. The bad thing about communism, what makes it even more dangerous, you might say, than socialism or fascism, is communism, pure communism like you have in China. This type of belief system eliminates any thought of eternal punishment, of God. There is no thought of eternal punishment, eternal consequences, because when you die, you dissipate. Like taking an apple, laying it out in the sun, eventually it just shrivels up and dies. The essence of the apple, the moisture just evaporates. And then eventually, it ends up, again, dust. This type of belief system is frightening. It is probably the worst form of political thought known to mankind. But I have something that you need to know. It is not the worst. There's no belief in God. There's no concern for your fellow man. No matter what you do to your fellow man, there will be no consequences. It is just totally a destructive type of thinking. But there is something worse. It will be something that will only occur one time in the history of mankind. A type of thought process that will be more evil than anything known to man. It's in Revelation chapter 13. It is a system where you are forced to not only believe a certain way, but to prove that you are on board with this new system. You take a mark, a name, or worship an image. This is the peak of all of these fascism, socialism, communism, any ism. It is the it is different than anything that has ever occurred in mankind's history. It is a system where it's a belief system. It's a system where you buy and sell, and without taking a mark or a number, you can't buy or sell. It is complete surrender of your soul with no way to back out ever. People who have spent years, decades, half a century serving Satan in witchcraft, in their final days, the offer of repentance and repenting and the offer of eternal life is still available to them to their last breath. And many at the last, in the last days of their life, though they have done nothing but evil their whole lives, Christ is still available to them. The thief on the cross, both of them. Thievery back then, I mean, people had nothing. So to steal somebody, steal from someone back in those days was a change in a person's future. It would change a family it for the worse, negatively. So it was a serious problem, theft. But one of the thieves, he was told that he would be with Christ. He asked Christ, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And this man knew a little bit of the background of Israel's history. Israel eventually would be the kingdom that would rule over the world, which is shortly to come. But he knew that there'd be the king of that kingdom. He was looking at Christ as not someone who was going to die shortly, but he knew that Christ was without any sin, that he had done nothing, that he was innocent. He knew who Christ was, and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Christ said, "You will be with me this day." And so at the very end, in the last moments of his life, he would be saved eternally. He would become one of Christ's children in the future, to be with God forever. These people, to their very last breath, they can be saved. But this thing that's coming, this new system that is coming, this demand to give something for something, your eternal soul, if you want to buy and sell and eat and drink and travel and do whatever, you're going to forfeit the one passport that you cannot take lightly, your eternal soul. This is the one thing you cannot play with. And then, if you don't, you know, you have to worship. You have to worship this image. You're going to worship. You're going to have to make a decision. You're either going to worship this coming beast, or you're going to worship Christ. You're going to make a decision. This is not like communism. They throw you in a dungeon. No, this is eternal. Then you're taking the mark. I think the way I understand it, those that want to be members of the coming army of the Antichrist, they take a mark. So there are three options: take a number, a mark, or worship. But to do this, you surrender the most important The most important thing to every human being is their soul. Even people that have given their soul to the devil before to do evil in the world, they can repent, God can visit them, and they can turn, and they can be saved and be with Christ in God's heaven to come, heaven in his future to come. Right now in this country, there are millions of people who are going to gladly sell their passport, that are going to be willing to give their soul for something they believe will give them eternal life. And once they do that, once they have made that decision, misery like they have never known begins. Now, there was a man, you might be familiar with this individual, Judas Iscariot. He had an opportunity to live with the Prince of Peace forever, but he decided, for the sake of filthy lucre, 30 pieces of silver, that he would make a deal with the Pharisees of the time, with the religious world and the government, and betray Messiah. And he forfeit this passport, his eternal soul. And immediately after he did that, he betrayed. They gave him the silver. He couldn't even touch it. He let it drop on the ground because he knew he had just forfeited eternity. He was going to live. He was going to experience eternity, but not with the Messiah. And he's the first one to forfeit in that principle his passport, his eternal soul. And what did he do? Immediately, hell descended upon him. He went, got a rope, hung himself. And the silver was so, you know, all of a sudden, the religious world, they grew a conscience. All of a sudden, they said, well, wait a minute. We can't take that money. All of a sudden, we can put Messiah, the king of the Jews, to death, but we can't take that money. So they bought a field with it. In America right now, there are millions and millions and millions of people that are going to forfeit their eternal soul to the coming beast. And to be honest with you, everyone, even Peter Thiel of Palantir, he supposedly is on a quest to find the Antichrist. Well, the Antichrist is alive, and he knows the name of the coming Antichrist. The Antichrist is a baby boom generation offspring. But is he going to forfeit his eternal life, his eternal soul? This individual comes out of the United States of America. I have been honest with this audience, for those that have been listening to me since 2019, firstly on radio, now on my website, and people who listened to me for 4 years in Las Vegas, Nevada, 2005 to 2013. late 2008, almost completely almost 4 years. I've always been honest with the audience that America's in the Bible. Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 18. That the coming son of perdition would come from America, not from Israel, not the Middle East, not Europe, not the Catholic Church, but would come from America. So for the last couple, 3 weeks, I've been just thinking about after the UFC fight there in Washington, in front of the Capitol, 250, the talk of all that Donald Trump is doing to just put America on display, the best of the best. And the more that he does positively, the more hatred, the more attacks, the more mocking, and the more the mainstream media, every day, their same message every day. He's got to go. He's got to go. He's a racist. He's a fascist. He's got to go. Well, these people that want him to go, I'm giving them to this program, I'm giving them a warning to their future. The one that replaces Donald Trump eventually is going to demand you worship him. The next administration is going to be the last administration of this great country. The next administration, they do not have the ability to set up the... I've been using the term to set the table. Donald Trump is setting the table for everything that the next administration is going to need. Donald Trump is, if you're going to have an automotive shop, let's say you're going to work on heavy equipment, like in these mines, like in Salt Lake City, the big mine there, the copper mine. The most important part of the operation, yes, it is the heavy equipment, it is the earth movers, it is all this stuff. But the most important part of the operation is the shop, is where you bring in all of the equipment when it needs service, oil changes, brake fluid, etc. When anything breaks, the shop is the most important building on site. Oh, the office is important. Don't misunderstand me. The operations, in the business office, yeah. They have to bill and they have to sell and retrieve what is owed to them. But it is the people in the shop. It is the shop itself. They can rotate tires. They can pull engines, move engines, replace engines, fix engines. Anything needed, they can take care of it. This coming administration, they do not have that ability. They do not have not had that ability. In part, but nah. God has put Donald Trump in the office of president in 2016, and what he has been doing, whether he understands it or not, he has been building the shop, everything needed, the inventory in the back rooms, everything that is needed for that next administration. They do not have the ability. The beast and the false prophet, they have access to the technology, but it takes a great man like Donald Trump to be able to take all of the pieces of everything important and put it in place for that next administration. What Donald Trump is doing, he is making this country, he has made this country once again a leader in a positive way in the world. His direction is not the direction of those in NATO, the nations, in the European nations, in the G7, Bilderbergers, all of these European globalist organizations. He's the enemy because he knows who they are. He knows what they do. He knows their family lineages. He knows the evil. He's aware of the witchcraft, the sorcery. One thing about being in government, first thing you know is you find out who's who. People don't know that upon taking his first, entering his first term, going into the White House, he had to, he had to strip the rugs to find the pentagrams underneath on the floor and get rid of all that witchcraft. His wife would not stay in that building because of the witchcraft. You may not believe that's true. All of Washington, D.C. was built according to Masonic structure. Fly up, take a drone, go to the pool, go straight up about 800 feet, take a snapshot, and you will see Masonic images everywhere. The White House has been filled with these men that have been involved in the occult. Bill Clinton, Illuminati, George and George Jr., Skull and Bones, Ronald Reagan, when he was in the White House, his wife had a witch that would read the horoscope every day, and Ron's wife, what was her name? Nancy. Nancy would basically dictate what Ron could do during the day and what he couldn't do. Jimmy Carter. I'd heard that his mother, Lillian Gordy, in Plains, Georgia, it was known she was a witch. Bill Clinton, when he was a boy, had psychological problems. He had to see a therapist in a, I don't know if you call it a clinic, but eventually the building and the documentation burned. So you have all these presidents, then with Barry Satoru, witchcraft behind him, and Michelle / Mike, if you want to believe that. His mother was practicing in some type of voodoo out of either Haiti or one of the islands. Witchcraft. The next administration does not have the ability to set up what was needed so that they will fulfill the plan that God had for this country. When they take office, they will be fulfilling prophecy according to God's scriptures, according to the prophets of Israel, to Christ himself, to his apostles. They think they're going to do whatever they want. They will do what God has allowed them to do. Nothing more. And they will use everything that Donald Trump, basically he is building their everything needed, the shop. He's building a shop, and everything they need is going to be available. They'll know how to use what is there. But the first thing they'll do is they'll begin to tear down all of the legislation, the executive orders, and they will begin to dismantle the Constitution of the United States of America. We will not be a constitutional republic any longer. We will be something brand new. I can lie to you. I can try to, you know, gently tell you don't play out in the interstate. It's 8 lanes each side. You're not going to make it if you decide to cross this 8-lane interstate just going one direction, jump the fence or jump the barrier, and then try to make it through the next 8 lanes to the far end of the shoulder on the other side. You're going to be, I mean, you've got 8 lanes, and it's rush hour. 4:30 to 6:30, everybody wants to get home, and they're going to go, not the speed limit, they're going to add 10 miles an hour to whatever the speed limit sign says. If the sign says 65 miles per hour, these people are overachievers. They're going to go 75. You're going to die. So I could tell you, oh, you'll make it. You know, just try to watch 8 lines before you get hit, and then jump the barrier, and then you got to go in the next half of the gauntlet. We're going into a bad time. In the bad time, like I always say, there's only one individual that is going to help mankind. He's God, Jesus. He's the only one that is going to be able to help the world. He is actively involved in the world now. What is he doing? He is giving the world a view of hell, a view of the sin of mankind, an understanding that when the judges are corrupt, when the judges are paid off, when the government leaders don't fear God, the societies, they become children without any threat of punishment of any kind. These young kids, they don't threat going to jail. They don't fear. They have nothing to lose. Their lives are wasted anyhow, most of them, the young people. What this society has done through the, I'll use as a, I have my own ministry. So as a minister, the racial problems in this country are because of the pastors, whether they be white, Asian, Korean, Chinese, black, whether they be Hispanic, whether they be anything, whatever, white, because the men that are in the pulpit do not know the Bible. They don't know they know how to preach a good service sermon. They know how to have programs for the youth, a nursery for the children, overflow area for those if they get too many people. But they don't, like there's a pastor that I listen to, he's a black pastor. His name is David Manning. He's out of the Bronx, I think it is, or Harlem in New York. He said one thing as a black pastor, he tells the black community, because that's who he ministers to, that the black man doesn't understand the world. I absolutely, totally agree 100%. This man knows the world. He knows not only the black world, but he knows the white world. He knows the world of education. He knows the world through biblical, the eyes of the Bible. And what happens in this country is the pastors of the land, the racial problems, Obama's racial objectives, who helped further those objectives? The black pastors in the black communities, because they don't know the world. What world am I talking about? The world of Messiah. As a pastor, I do other things, but one thing I know is that I cannot have hatred toward the black people or to Asian people or to white people or Hispanic people. I have to be, as a minister, I have to be politically neutral. I can have opinions, but am I Republican or Democrat? I'm a minister. I can't change history. I can't change the race problems in this country. There's no answer. Because Christ said you would have ethnos against ethnos, race against race. And it's happened. Woe to those who have allowed it. The pastors of the land, the black pastors, cannot have a racial attitude, a hatred toward white or Hispanic or Asian. The whites cannot, and the whites are guilty. I've been in Pentecostal circles. Understand the Pentecostal, evangelical, charismatic world. There is a racist attitude of many white pastors and Hispanic pastors. Being Hispanic, I know the racial sentiments of many Hispanic pastors. They don't want black people in their congregations. They don't want white people in their congregations. With the black people, if I go into a black congregation, I might not come out. And the Asian people, with the thinking of the blacks, the Hispanic, the whites, the thinking, the only way to overcome the thinking of which race is, to be the top, that's the word I can think of, with these, who is going to sit where? Who's going to take the upper seat? Well, the one that's sitting at the bottom, that's the one you can trust. That's where the security is right there. Those that are climbing, jumping seats, climbing, trying to get to those upper positions, those are the ones that are probably going to be have the most racial problems. But the pastors of this land, in the kingdom of heaven, as Christ's children, there is no racial tension, because Christ has sent his servants to Asian, to black, to Indian, and I mean Indians in the Indian nations in America, to Hispanic, to every culture, to every language, to every continent. Christ, he set the example. He was being persecuted by all three of the children of Noah, by Shem, Ham, and Japheth at the crucifixion. All three were there. The religious world from Shem, the government, Japheth, and who carried the cross for Christ at the crucifixion when the cross became too heavy to carry. He couldn't bear it alone. It was a man by the name of Simon. He was from the tribe of he was from the lineage of Ham. And the one who carries the cross, these are the ones who are the most honored. Not the ones who sit in the government, Japheth, not the ones who are religious, Shem, but the one who actually helped carry the cross, Christ. Rome actually commanded Simon help. Rome had the final say. So it was dark-skinned Simon that carried the cross. I have met more black people in my time since I began my ministry and prior to that have been the finest people, the most caring, the most loving, the most dedicated to Christ. And I have a wonderful friend in Fort Collins, Colorado, Mel Johnson of All Nations Church. Black, Hispanic, white, it doesn't matter. He's there for everyone. This is the principle that I can explain to you and give you something that you can understand. This racism, it's here to stay. And the problem between the generations, it's here to stay. The way in which this government has stripped the youth of an education that was vital for their future, these people are angry. These people are going to come for the teachers. They're going to come for the people. They're angry. These people that have been molested through the government programs, putting them in foster homes, these people, don't forget. What happens is they become perpetrators, but they still don't forget. And God is going to allow the day of reckoning. It's going to come in His way. And the government that is here to protect the people is not going to protect the people. It's going to corral the people. So I'm telling you, enjoy your 4th of July. Enjoy your 4th of July. Enjoy this 4th of July week and the week following. Enjoy this summer. Because this is the as good as it's going to get. America is in trouble. And Donald Trump is the only individual that could have ever been. He's the only one who could put the shop together for what's to come. And God put him in place to do just that because the punishment's got to come. So Donald Trump, all those that have been harassing him, the punishment is coming. He put together the shop for the people that are coming to punish. So he's going to have he who laughs last, laughs best. He's had to endure this madness. Well, now he's built the shop for the people that are coming. You think the country's mad now? You wait. I am going to finish now. So, again, my name is Rick Rodriguez. Website is thispresenttruth.com. Contact me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I want the best for this country, and the best is that people know the truth, and you don't fear the future. You have no need to fear the future with the Lord Jesus. Give God Jesus, give Him an opportunity to help you for what is coming. He will. God bless you.